Yo, what's up, everybody? My name is Sam Humphries from Marvel Comics, Citizen Jack and Jonesy, and I am close personal friends with the Court of Nerds. So if you mess with them, you mess with me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Court of Nerds. I'm Drew.
I'm John.
I'm Ben.
And we're the only podcast that can't decide when to record. Because we used to record on Tuesdays, now we record on the weekends. And sometimes at night, but in the morning also, in the after. We're a very confused podcast.
I'm blaming Grant.
Yeah, I blame Grant.
Easily.
Okay. We are also the podcast brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con, October 21st through the 23rd at DeVos Place. Be sure to get your tickets at grcomiccon.com. Now, normally we're the podcast that brings you the four pillars of nerdery: movies, television, gaming, and comic books themselves. But, again, with a short crew and a small special guest, we're going to be kind of just talking about everything that's gone on since we had a chance to get together. So, it's going to be a little sloppier than you're probably used to, and hopefully that's okay. Everyone likes a little sloppy now and then, don't we?
Yeah, a little grease is good for everyone.
Sometimes they make them extra sloppy just for us.
That's how they like them. That's how you kids like them, don't you? Extra sloppy?
Extra sloppy.
All right, listen, starting things off, a movie came out this past weekend. Kubo and the Two Strings from Focus Features and Leica Entertainment. Absolutely phenomenal film. I had a chance to see it, and that's where our small special guest makes his first appearance ever on the Court of Nerds podcast. Introduce yourself, young man. What's your name?
Isaac.
Isaac what?
Isaac McCarthy.
It's darn right. This is my son, Isaac, you guys. You've seen him on some of our videos, including our Fantastic Four review, which he sat through with Ben and I, and he's somehow alive. I'm so proud of you.
And liked it.
And liked it, yeah. A weird kid. But he's mine, so wanted to be on the podcast, so we figured, why the heck not? Isaac, you saw Kubo and the Two Strings with me, right?
Yep.
What did you think? Did you like the movie?
Yeah.
So, Isaac, what was your favorite part of Kubo and the Two Strings?
When, at the first part, he went down to the village and did a story.
Yeah, and he played his little guitar thing, and it made his origami come to life, didn't it?
Yep.
Did you think the movie looked really pretty?
Yeah.
All right. You're really good at this. Go sit back down.
Okay.
Good job, Isaac.
Good job, right, Isaac.
Good job.
There was also a part that was a spoilerish part that he wanted to say.
We had to cut it. We fixed it in
we
post.
We fixed it in post.
he's cute, though.
Rookie vibes. It's
rookie. All right. It's all right, dude. We'll get there. First time. No, look, Kubo and the Two Strings was absolutely gorgeous. It reminded me a lot of old samurai films. A deliberate pace that focused on a story. Well, there aren't a ton of action scenes, I'll be honest with you. It might not be a good movie for younger kids, but Isaac's 8, and he really enjoyed the animation. It's Leica. It was beautiful. It was the director's first film as a director, and he Travis Knight is also the CEO of Leica Entertainment. So this was a big deal to him. They spared no expense. One of the characters in the movie is the largest stop-motion character ever created. So, by the way, Travis Knight, the son of Nike's Film Knight.
Oh, wow. There you go.
So, there we go. There's your fun fact for the day. But Kubo and the Two Strings in theaters now. Go see it at a Celebration Cinema near you. And get a popcorn bucket, because, come on, it's totally worth the money, right?
Like 100%.
It's the greatest thing ever. We also wanted to talk about another movie-related thing today. Zendaya's role in Spider-Man Homecoming has been revealed. Now, if you want to avoid the spoiler of what character she's playing, which, I mean, I guess there are some people who are like that.
Yeah.
And that you think there are people who are listening.
It's also important. if you're listening and you don't want this spoiled for you, turn it off in 3, 2, 1, and we will tell you when to come back. Give us like a minute and a half, 2 minutes here, something like that.
Yeah, not too crazy.
Zendaya will be playing Mary Jane, one of the more iconic roles in all of Marveldom. The redheaded firecracker who is Peter Parker's main squeeze in just about every continuity known to man. Ben, what were your thoughts on this, man? You're our Spider-Man freak.
At first, it was kind of, just because the only thing I know about her is that really super cheesy Disney show that we watched for about 10 minutes
on Friday
night.
Casey Undercover.
Casey Undercover. And that, I mean, that's all I know her from in proactive commercials. So at first, it was kind of like a little just grunt at first, because I have no idea who it is. And then I just thought about, I mean, I like the young vibes they're going with. It's going to match up with Tom Holland perfectly. All she has to do is nail that kind of sassy confidence that Mary Jane has, and she'll be fine. I mean,
Oh, Isaac knows a movie that Zendaya was in. What movie was Zendaya in, Isaac?
Zapped.
She was also in the film Zapped.
Do you like
Disney
her?
Disney original?
I bet it's a Disney Channel original. You like Zendaya, Isaac? All right, cool. Yeah, Isaac says yes.
Cool. All
right. So there was a lot of backlash, though.
Yeah, super a lot.
And if you're waiting to rejoin us from spoilers, this is the point where you can rejoin, because we'll just talk about the reaction to the character, who is in I guess Spider-Man world traditionally Caucasian.
The ginger.
Ginger. But there are photos that have surfaced. Wow, that you just ruined it again. Ben, God.
This is a spoiler section. Deal with it.
No, I said people could come back.
It's just, I know, but this you is can't a not talk about it and not explain we can, what this character is just we're a talking casting. About.
If you don't know who's playing who going into the movie, I don't even think Grant's like that. You know who's playing who.
Bro, you know Grant.
He knows who's playing who, though.
Okay, so spoilers. Either way, Mary Jane, are they going to give her red hair?
Yeah.
Yes. There are already photos leaked from the set. That was how this was broken. The story was broken because of the photos of her with red hair.
To me, I mean, that's all that matters. That's the only color I care about. Just that.
Yeah. No. According to therap.com, there was one recent draft of the script that leaked that has Zendaya's character dropping several clues to her identity as Mary Jane. Was cast as a key role back in March. The character's code name was Michelle.
Michelle, yeah.
Right.
At the time, there were no further details, but it looks like Sony declined to comment. Representatives from Marvel and Zendaya did not immediately respond. But it looks like that is what she will be doing. The internet was really dumb about this.
Yeah.
The internet was should be ashamed of themselves for the way they reacted to this casting news.
Probably because they're taking an iconic person and making them African American, which is the dumbest argument in the entire world why people would be upset with that.
I mean, the reaction, and I guess we already called them out on our Facebook page, it's not like anyone's paying attention to us, so... I mean, Cosmic Book News had a terrible reaction.
I was trying to pull it up right now. Just, just terrible.
They are now, as we call in the business, blacklisted.
From us.
From us, yeah.
There was a post the day this news came out.
Terrible.
That basically insinuated that the casting of Mary Jane as a person of color should now spark them to cast a white man to play Green Lantern John Stewart, a white person to play Black Panther, or a white Luke Cage.
Yeah, with the article announcing Zendaya was rumored for the role in Spider-Man Homecoming, they shared it on Facebook. Think we'll ever see a non-black Luke Cage, Black Panther, or John Stewart? Crossing fingers. Like, that just sounds snarky. That's snarky. That's sarcastic. That's pretty ignorant.
It was. It came off very, very poorly. Whether that was their intention or not, I mean, the amount of racist responses to that was staggering and, quite frankly, upsetting.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty vehement reaction amongst the Court of Nerds as well. Everyone just upset by the idea that, again, Mary Jane, a character who, there's nothing inherently white about Mary Jane.
No.
There's nothing that defines her as a human being as a Caucasian. Luke Cage is Marvel's first ever African-American hero. Black Panther is the king of an African nation. And John Stewart is the only African-American Green Lantern. There's three white ones if you want, you know, if you want someone that the Klan can get behind.
Well, they tried that. Didn't work out all that
right,
well.
So why John Stewart will likely get his shot next.
Yeah.
But again, you know, if we're going to just talk about that real quick, DC and Warner Brothers already confirmed it's Green Lantern Corps. We will see multiple lanterns from Earth.
Yeah.
My bet would be, again, given the whitewashing that Hollywood generally does, we'll see, you know, Guy Gardner and Hal Jordan, and you'll get Jon Stewart in the second movie if you're lucky. And that's terrible, but it's the way things are done in Hollywood. So the idea that a person of color can't play Mary Jane Watson is
insulting.
Insulting. It is upsetting and offensive. Stan Lee himself was behind the idea of Donald Glover playing Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. Stan Lee didn't say, oh, yeah, he should play Miles Morales. No, he said Donald Glover for Spider-Man. Now, again, Donald Glover has a rumored to have been cast in Spider-Man Homecoming, which would be spectacular.
Yeah.
So, again,
isn't it confirmed?
Was that confirmed?
I thought he was confirmed in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Well, that would be even better.
Either way,
just one of those ridiculous things that the internet decided to make a thing out of, and it shouldn't have been a thing.
The thing with Cosmic Book is just disappointing because they have such a large following, and that's such a misrepresentation of our community, I feel like. The way that was just a snarky, just terribly timed, terribly thought out post, and just the wrong reaction. Whatever your stance is on that or not, just the wrong reaction. You're supposed to carry yourselves better.
No, and James Gunn even went so far as to address it in a lengthy message on his Facebook page, admitting that he is in no way confirming that she is playing Mary MJ. He says, realize I've read the Spidey script. I've met the actress in question. I have no idea what her role is. There's a good chance someone told me at one time or another, but if so, I don't remember. I'm going to find out when I go into Marvel this afternoon, but I feel free to speak until that time because it's about a concept of a black woman playing Mary Jane, not the actuality or hypothesis of it. He says, for me, if a character's primary attribute, the thing that makes them iconic, is the color of their skin or their hair color, frankly, that character is shallow and sucks. For me, what makes MJ MJ is her alpha female playfulness. And if the actress captures that, then she'll work. And for the record, I think Zendaya even matches what I think of as MJ's primary physical characteristics. She's tall, thin, model, much more so than other actresses have played her in the past. Whatever the case, if we're going to continue to make movies based on the almost all-white heroes and supporting characters from comics of the last century, we're going to have to get used to them being more reflective of our diverse present world. Perhaps we can be open to the idea that although someone may not initially match how we personally conceive a character, we can be, and often are, happily surprised.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Gunn, once again, knocking it out of the park, which is why he writes movies and we do a podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's perfect reaction from someone in his stance.
Moving from Zendaya, Ben, you were going to talk about Batman and Birds of Prey, right? Are we not going to talk about Batman and Birds of Prey, Ben?
Did something happen, Ben?
Is there
you want to share with the group?
I don't want to share it, but I'm going to. All right, I was leaving Detroit on Friday after work, about 6 o'clock. I was packing up for a friend's wedding, was going to come to town. Anyway, watch SummerSlam with these guys tonight.
Woo!
Oh, that just gave it away. We're recording on a Sunday. Oops.
You guys are really bad today.
That's all right.
It could be worse.
But I left my copy of Batman and Batgirl in the Birds of Prey on the roof of my car and drove off and didn't realize until about 15 minutes into my drive on the highway. So that's why there's not a review of those two books up.
Luckily, I have Batman at least, so Ben can read it.
It's embarrassing. It's terrible. I feel terrible about it. I'm disappointed. Everybody's done it, though, right? Eh?
Oh. I've done it not with books, but with other things.
I've done it with like a drink or something.
I left the cheese at the grocery store yesterday. I had to go back and get the cheese.
The cheese stood alone, if you will.
Indeed, it did.
Speaking of standing alone, and we're not going to dwell on how dumb Ben is. Jared Leto was at Camp Mars, which is a 3-day wilderness retreat devoted to Jared Leto's band 30 Seconds to Mars. And yes, that is as narcissistic as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Leto reportedly voiced displeasure with his experience making Suicide Squad and his displeasure with the film in general. According to a fan account of the event, and this is from HighSnobiety.com, Leto said he felt sort of tricked into being a part of something that had been pitched to him very differently. The fan account also added that Leto has not seen the theatrical cut of Suicide Squad and is basing his disappointment on what has been relayed to him by others. Leto also told BBC Radio earlier this month that he'd shot a ton of scenes as Joker that got cut, going so far as to say there's enough footage in this film for a solo Joker movie.
It's, yeah, the one that really stuck with me was that he felt tricked. into working on a film that had been sold to him as something that was different to what had been sold to him originally. Right. So it's like, that's not good.
Like, he was sold it was supposed to be like an artistic experience, something like no comic book movie has ever done before. They were gonna, they sold him on that. I mean, Leto's a very, he's a good character actor. He does, you know,
he's a method actor. He's one of the few remaining method actors.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I mean, he was method acting in a movie that a method actor did not fit into because he was alone, and it just did not fit with the tone of the movie at all. With what he was doing. I mean, that's why it makes that comment so believable, because it felt like he was doing something different than everybody else.
So it is intriguing, to say the least, of the director's cut that could come out, but sad to hear that he doesn't want to do another movie, because I think his Joker and Ben Affleck's Batman would be a great, like, gangster Joker versus really dark Bat.
Old.
Like, like Dark Knight Bat, where he, you know, lost Jason Todd and he's pissed off at the world. It's sad we may not even see it now.
Yeah, it's just been a big roll of disappointing from the DCCU this year, and just like stuff like this happening is just bad. It's just, you didn't need to lose Jared Leto's Joker immediately, because that just...
Not for the 10 minutes he was in Suicide Squad.
Because what does Suicide Squad mean moving forward, more than just, hey, we moved Batman's storyline ahead a couple of times?
Batman and Justice League. But if they go forward in time on Batman and do either a Jason Todd story or an Arkham Asylum story, I mean, you're just kind of, you're lost. You need Leto's Joker. Who are you going to throw in there? Like, before he turned a gangster? Why he lost his teeth, Joker? You're going to throw something else in there? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough road ahead for the DC Cinematic Universe. Or as we've lovingly, quote unquote, taken to calling it around here, the DC Murderverse. it's brutal, man. I don't know how... Our hero from Battle Creek can fix this, you know? The man known as Geoff Johns.
From Detroit.
Is he from Detroit?
He's from Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he can fix it. Like I said, I think he had too late of a start on Suicide Squad, so he couldn't like dip his toes into that movie.
Well, I'm going to guess promises were made to David Ayers about the way he was going to be allowed to write and make the film, but again, I think the real telling thing is going to be Wonder Woman. It's the first one that Johns has had full-on, hands-on involvement with from the jump. And it'll be kind of a prove-yourself moment to the DC Universe. Like, are we as fans going to stay invested in this? Or are we going to bail and just wait for Vertigo in 2018? Hold on, I'll look that up.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, though, because a lot rests on Wonder Woman, because people are going to be like, all right, we're giving you the benefit of the doubt here. Johns hasn't had full control from start to beginning or start to finish on a movie yet, so let's see what you got. Let's see what are you doing here.
And the Wonder Woman trailer coming out of San Diego Comic-Con was probably the best trailer that came out from San Diego Comic-Con.
That was a great trailer. It was a good trailer. It's got a lot of hype behind the movie, but, you know, all these movies have had a lot of hype behind them.
And I like it because it's not... They can't really introduce other characters in the Wonder Woman movie either. It's gonna
this has got to be about
a
her
Wonder Woman, because it takes place in what, World War One era, with Steve Trevor, looks like, whatever, 1913, 1915 area.
Yeah.
Superman's not here, Batman's not alive, Green Lanterns aren't here, Aquaman's not alive, Flash isn't alive.
They need to develop a character that people actually care about.
Yeah.
Because outside of Batfleck, and like we still haven't had a lot of him, there's nothing there to like grasp onto right now.
Mm-mm. You try to grasp on this Superman, but they offed him.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah. Well, hey, rumors about him, the black suit, that's been circulating that he might be in Justice League wearing the black suit or the regular suit. Who knows? What do you think? Black suit? You think he's going to have black suit?
I thought I saw pictures of the blue suit.
I did, too. I've seen both this week. So
I didn't see any black suit pictures.
Like, Henry tweeted out a picture of...
You saw his hair super curled, though.
Super Lois Clark and Superman.
By the way, I was thinking of Valiant's Bloodshot, which does come out in 2017.
Nice. 2017.
Okay. I mean, all I'm saying is that pretty soon, the big two are going to have actual competitors.
Yeah, it's happening.
Boom is working on moving their stuff to movie studios. Mm-hmm. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers reboots, I want to say next year as well.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, 2017. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you're going to be having competition for these dollars that you've just been getting from the nerd community, and now you're going to have actual competition for that money. All right. We're going to move on. We're going to get positive again because, Ben, you loved a book this week, one you didn't leave on the hood of your car.
Oh, I did. I'm so happy. No offense to Batman or Batgirl Birds and the Birds of Prey, but Black Hammer number 2. First back-to-back 10 out of 10 reviews for the first two issues of the book. It's fantastic. It's Dark Horse book. Jeff Lemire wrote it. Dean Ornstrom wrote it, and Dave Stewart colored it. That's a great lineup. And it's crazy because I didn't know this until I got to the end of number 2, but Dean, the artist on it, had a brain hemorrhage while he was doing the layouts for number 2, and he was rehabbing. No, he was rehabbing from a brain hemorrhage while he was doing the layouts for number 2, and there's a nice little, three-page script at the end of the book. And it's, amazing artwork. This is an amazing character story, superheroes stranded in a farm community off of a different universe. They don't know how to get home. They're stuck in this town. They're all lost their powers. A 55-year-old woman is forced to go to elementary school as a 9-year-old. It's just, it's dark, it's funny, it's, the art is fantastic. There's nothing bad to say about this book so far.
That's awesome. And again, most of the reviews have been seemingly as positive as yours.
Yeah, you can dig and dig for something to hate on with that book, but there's nothing there. There's dialogue, there's beautiful art, it's just a fantastic book, and I highly recommend it. Black Hammer, number 1 and number 2 from Dark Horse. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Good original stuff.
Nice. I actually had, for our reviews this week, I picked up Supergirl Rebirth, featuring our good friend Steve Orlando. And for this week and this week only, it was, I'm going to try my best to pronounce.
Oh, good luck.
Emanuela Lupacino.
Okay, that's a good try.
Thank you.
Yeah.
On the artwork, she also did the cover. And it's a good book. It's not a great book. It's a good book. Because
good is great for Supergirl right now.
What's that?
Good is great for Supergirl right now.
And that's the thing people got to keep in mind. Supergirl was done so dirty by the New 52. Her story in the New 52 is one of the reasons the New 52 sucked so hard.
Yeah, for so many, yeah.
There were a lot of them. Supergirl's, what they did to Supergirl was wrong. So what Steve Orlando has to do first and foremost in Rebirth is clear the deck, reset your story, get Kara her powers back, and then take me somewhere compelling, which he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to spoiler it, but again, Orlando is a guy I have a world of faith in.
Yes.
As a writer.
Mm-hmm.
That he has a plan, he knows where he wants to go with it. And I think his style of writing for Supergirl, while Emanuela Lupacino's art is beautiful, don't get me wrong, it's gorgeous. Her action sequences crackle.
I really like the covers for that book, too.
She's going to be staying on covers. Mm-hmm. She's staying on covers, but taking over the interior art is a guy who I also love, Brian Ching.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, Brian Ching takes over in September on Supergirl, and I could not be more excited. I love Brian Ching's work. I love the sketches that have come out of his version of Supergirl. They look spectacular, and I think it's going to fit very well with the Supergirl that Steve Orlando is trying to write.
Yeah, I love his writing style. When I heard that announcement, I was so happy for him just because he's been good to us, but also because as a fan, he's got a nice writing style that fits with that character. He seems like somebody that's going to be able to not rebuild, but start from scratch a little bit. He's got a little bit starting from scratch.
Speaking of starting from scratch,
here we go.
A relationship between Hulu and Marvel.
Yeah.
This is one of the first weeks in a long time we've had double marvelous things to say about Marvel. Pun intended. That's right. Get in for your fake laughs, you jerks. Thank you. Thank you very much. Marvel's Runaways is heading to series at Hulu. Now, a pilot is all that's been ordered fully so far, but they expect it to be a full series order with the involvement of Gossip Girl and OC creator Josh Schwartz. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with Josh Schwartz, I'm going to start there because the series I'm familiar with Josh Schwartz because of, besides the OC, yes, I watched the OC, judge me, I don't care, was Chuck, one of my favorite series of the past, want to say decade.
It's a good show.
I love
great
Chuck.
Show.
I mean, action, comedy, nerdery, it had it all.
Chuck.
Everything. So Schwartz is a guy who I feel will be very capable to do what needs to be done with The Runaways. Now, for those that don't know about The Runaways, Ben, you've been doing research as a first-timer into this runaway world. What have you found out that people should know about this book going in?
Yeah, I this is one of those books that I never got around to, and it's just kind of like, this sounds like it was Marvel's attempt in the early 2000s to kind of bring in a new audience and kind of bring in some crossover manga readers. Am I right on that? And kind of
a little bit. Just a, yeah, a little bit. The big thing was it's Brian Vaughn.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was the original writer, the creator of Runaways.
Okay. Very diverse group of characters.
A very diverse group of kids. The book, though, was just incredible. I mean, it's Brian K. Vaughan. The book was amazingly written. Adrian Alfona on the art. And it was so well done in the first series. It's, again, a group of kids, you know, and I feel like every comic book you read is about a group of kids that find out their parents are heroes. Yeah. Well, this book, the twist is their parents are the bad guys that are trying to obtain eternal life. And it's crazy. The first arc of the book is just intense, as I imagine the first season of the show will be. And I actually liked the later runs a lot because Joss Whedon took over the second run of Runaway. So I'd believe you would be able to see Whedon involved as a director at some point on at least some of the episodes. It seems like something he'd be very into. The book ran from 2003 essentially until 2009 with about a year off.
Okay.
It was canceled after its initial 18 issues, but the trades sold so well that Marvel picked the book back up in 2005. The team got back together for a 4-issue Secret Wars miniseries. But only one original member is still around in Marvel continuity. So we'll see. I think this series has a lot of promise. I think I'm glad that we're hanging on to Hulu.
Yeah, I was going to say Hulu, though. It's interesting for Marvel to go that route.
It's because of the company that Schwartz is involved with had a development deal with Marvel in place.
Okay.
And they were able to take it wherever they wanted because these aren't main roster characters.
Right. Well, Hulu, I believe what they do is they release weekly. They're not like Netflix where they just throw everything out at once.
Yeah.
You actually will have to wait. Weekly.
Just gonna like anger some nerds.
Yeah, for sure.
but I want to binge.
I like that they are broadening their horizons, and even if they already had a deal with Hulu in place, it's still using more media.
That's just. I mean, look at Marvel.
What's Marvel?
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Marvel loves having their hands in everything.
They're in everything.
Yeah. Well, and all their movies come to Netflix. God, is that next month?
That's this fall.
Yeah.
That's
all.
Fall, yeah.
So it's soon.
That's exciting.
All right, since we didn't prepare a gaming segment for today,
yes,
we're going to do something that I think will be a lot of fun.
Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Big John's Pokemon Tips.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, everybody. So, the big tips.
Hey,
everybody. Big tips. Well, Jacob, you came down with me. So we were big hotspot downtown as usually.
By the way, this is West Michigan, Grand Rapids specific.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Hopefully, if you just come here, we have decent Pokemon.
And good beer.
Pearl and Division.
Jesus.
Right behind Kendall Street is a hot spot. There's always lures. There's 4 Pokespots.
Fire.
The amphitheater by Wolfgang Puck's and the Civic Auditorium is a hot spot. There's 4 lures as well. The Blue Bridge is a hot spot. And just being downtown in general, you can pretty much just walk around and pick something up. Pikachu spawns at the Calder.
Oh.
We've got Incredible. We got Eric Dactyl. I got a Rhydon. 6th Street Park is a Bulbasaur area. Pretty sure it's a nest. Also picked up a Gyarados at the Fish Ladder. If you want to travel a little bit, you can go to Jennison at Hagger Park or Hanger Park. It's one of the two. So it's either add an N or don't. And that is a serious Bulbasaur nest. The Rockford Dam is a Dratini nest,
wow.
So you can get your Dragonites if you want to drive all the way out there.
So much more in-depth than I thought it was going to be. This is
Brewer
amazing.
Park, Brewer Park is a Charmander and Magmar nest.
Shout out to Brewer Park!
What up?
So you can go smoked wacky tobacco, play a little disc golf, catch some Charmanders and Magmar.
Okay, you some wacky tobacco.
Wow.
Whatever you want to go do.
I think he was just saying he's seen a lot of people doing that there.
We have to clarify
these
things.
I know.
Blue Bridge.
I was double clarifying.
Magikarp. Magikarp. By the JW Marriott. It's also a Magikarp. You can sit there and get about 20 Magikarp in maybe an hour.
They're
probably
pesky. I was with a buddy outside Z's bar.
They struggle no other.
He caught that thing like three times last night, and it got out every time, and then he just gave up and went back inside.
Finally ended up getting my Gyarados, though. It took forever, and I've been playing this game pretty much every day.
He's an animal.
This is the hot tips around town, though.
Hot tips.
There you go.
Hot take Pokemon Sunday. Tips. Big
We're
going to
make
tip.
A song. It's going to end up being a song.
Big Jones.
We're about to go out to Hangar Park right now. We can get 5 Bulbasaurs in an hour.
Wow.
So, you want to talk a little Pokemon? What have you caught lately, Isaac?
Not that much.
You got to walk over to the microphone. Yes. People can't hear you just when
not
you're talking.
Not a visual medium.
It's like I'm dealing with Grant here, except adorable.
Grant's adorable.
All right. Grant's not adorable. Don't lie to people. Don't do that. All right, Isaac. You've been reading your Pokemon guidebook, and what were you telling me people need to be looking out for? Is it combination Pokemon?
Yes.
What are some of the cool combinations you've been reading about?
Like grass, ice.
Like things you wouldn't think go together, right?
Yeah.
That just make really cool Pokemon?
Yep.
Okay, you have to answer with more than yeah or yep for this to work, okay?
Okay.
You gotta like talk about the thing. You know, we'll work on this more at home. All right, go away.
Good job, Isaac.
Come here. It's okay.
You tried.
It's
good.
Really good. I know. Shoot.
We have like combinations like what you'd want to do if you could combine a grass and what else is good against water? Electric. If you could combine a grass and electric Pokemon to fight water, that would be probably the best, because Vaporeons run gyms in this town all over the place. You could walk in there with Charizard, Bulbasaur. You could walk in with all of them, and their Vaporeon would whoop your butt. It's BS. It's not fair. These kids are stealing gyms at 4 a.m. When winter
Pokemon tips,
they're walking with you everywhere.
When winter comes, the Subi is gonna go steal some gems during snowstorms. For sure.
For the Court of Nerds, I'm Drew.
John.
I'm Ben.
Isaac.
We are your Court of Nerds. Don't forget, for some reason, we're still brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con. Sorry, Mark.
We totally are, though.
We totally are. And you should totally go to it. We were just talking to people last night about how incredible this event is going to be.
It's going to be the bee's knees.
Yeah, I was spreading the gospel at the wedding last night. People are coming. They're excited.
It's not hard to spread the gospel. No. If you've ever heard of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this is a con you can't miss.
People are going to freak out.
Kevin Eastman is going to be there. 3 of the 4 original actors who played the Ninja Turtles in the movies.
That's 75%.
First
the guy's
time
a
ever
DB.
On American soil, you fools. This is going to be unreal. GRComicCon.com. Get your tickets today. All right. Be sure to check out thecourtofnerds.com. We are the Court of Nerds.
Star Wars.
Oh, and
Emily.
Ben, we need to spend some time away.
Wow. Beer and Emily at the exact same time, we said.
Follow us on Facebook because we're super cool and we post awesome stuff. The Court of Nerds. Also on Twitter at court_of_nerds. And we're online at thecourtofnerds.com.